Minneapolis chef Beth Dooley is on the phone with us this morning to tell us about her new book. It's called Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup, published by University of Minnesota Press. Beth, good morning.
Good morning.
Your book just officially came out yesterday. Congratulations, and thanks for taking the time to talk with us this morning.
Oh, I'm happy to. Thanks for calling.
I was paging through your book, and I was thinking it must be really fun to eat at your house. the recipes in there are so creative and contemporary and beautiful. And you have produced several books now for cooking and indigenous locally raised foods. You co-authored The Sous Chef's Indigenous Kitchen with Sean Sherman, which received the James Beard Award for Best American Cookbook. What keeps you interested in cooking with local foods?
Well, because there's so much to explore. I mean, I think it's a never-ending journey. And what I love is that our local food system is evolving so beautifully. I mean, I've been at this for, I'm embarrassed to say, almost 35 years. And the work that's being done by our smaller farmers, our organic farmers, our producers, people that are making gorgeous cheeses and are growing all kinds of different artisan grains, just, I mean, there's just so much to write about.
In your book, you talk a little bit about the history of honey and maple syrup and how people have used those sweeteners long before refined sugar was readily available. What can you tell us about that history?
You know, it's really interesting. It was the indigenous people, Native Americans, who taught the settlers how to use maple syrup. They had been tapping trees and boiling the sap down into syrup and sugar for a long, long time. They also tapped birch trees and box elder trees and different varieties of trees for different kinds of syrup. And so the settlers learned a lot from them. But they also, the British brought with them the bees that we now get honey from. So bees are not indigenous to our area, but maple and maple syrup are. And I think what's really interesting is you dial back and go way back into history, it's fun to understand that sap was also used as a seasoning. It wasn't always just used for sweet. So I think by looking at how people years ago used sweet foods to season foods, not just to be a treat, you begin to understand how to balance flavors and how to brighten flavors and make things taste really delicious.
Mm. What do honey and maple syrup add to recipes that standard sugar doesn't?
Well, they both have a variety of complex flavors. For instance, maple sugar and maple sap have sort of it would make sense, a woodsy flavor, and also usually if you're getting it from a good producer, smoky overtones. They also come in different grades of flavors. So the very, very light maple syrup is quite delicate. And then as you go into the darker tones, the stronger that maple flavor will be. Knowing that and knowing how that strong, dark maple syrup has almost a bitter note to it, it can make a wonderful barbecue sauce or lovely glaze for a piece of meat. They're wonderful in salad dressings. And the same applies to raw honeys, because linden honey, for instance, is a very light, delicate-tasting honey. That comes from bees who've been feasting on linden trees. And then buckwheat honey is very, very dark and very viscous. And that, of course, comes from bees who've been feeding mostly on buckwheat. And that, too, is more like a molasses. It has that very rich, deep, dark, almost umeboshi flavor to it. So that then becomes delicious in a glaze or a barbecue sauce, or if you want to drizzle a little bit on the end of a bowl that's been seasoned with soy sauce, you brighten up the other flavors. They become counterpoints to the foods that you're seasoning. So by adding a little bit of sweetness or a little bit of the flavors of those different honeys, you're brightening flavors because they act as counterpoints.
So it sounds like you have pairings that go with certain kinds of maple syrup and certain kinds of honey.
Yes, exactly. And the best way to understand that is, of course, we have a guide around that in the book. But then the best way to understand that is simply to taste the different honeys and the different grades of maple syrup. And farmers markets are a great place to do that because many of our honey producers have different samples out so people can taste the different honeys that come from different sources. Maple syrup also will offer samples of these different grades of syrup.
Do you have any favorites of these flavors?
You know, I really am partial to the very dark maple syrup because it's so rich tasting. And I have friends who like to tap trees and boil the syrup down. And if you get syrup that's darker syrup that comes from the end of the season and has been boiled for a long time, it's very rich and very smoky tasting. I should add, too, that both honey and maple syrup, because they're viscous, really. I mean, they will add a little body to a salad dressing. You know, sometimes when you make an oil and vinegar dressing, it feels a little flat, like it needs something else. It needs to have a little more texture to it, right? And so by adding a little honey or maple syrup to that salad dressing, you not only sweeten and brighten it just a tad, but you're adding a little more body to it as well.
Do you have a handy ratio that you use to substitute maple syrup or honey into recipes?
Well, there's a ratio in the book for converting honey and maple syrup, you know, using it as a substitute in lieu of sugar. You have to be careful with honey and maple syrup because they're liquid and sugar is dry. And so the ratios are going to be a little different depending on the recipe and depending on whether it's a baked recipe or a cooked recipe. For maple sugar, you know, the substitution is just 1-to-1 because, again, you're dealing with a dry sugar. Now, the wonderful thing about maple sugar is that it has a lower glycemic index. So for people that are trying to have a lighter impact on their blood sugar, the maple sugar is really quite a nice choice. It also, because it has more flavor, adds more flavor to whatever it is you're cooking or baking. And so I found that when I'm substituting maple sugar or white sugar in a baked good, I'll often cut back a little bit on the amount of sugar called for in the recipes. And we do that in the baked recipes in the book.
We are talking with Minneapolis chef and author Beth Dooley about her new book, Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup. And I'm really excited to talk with you about some of the recipes in the book and open this book up because it's just beautiful. How did you get the food to look just right for the photographs in the book?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I work with a fabulous photographer, Meta Nielsen, and she's also a wonderful cook and an amazing gardener. And so we partner really nicely together. And then our stylist, Abby, who's really terrific and has a great eye, brought a lot to the equation. And so she really worked with Meta on making sure that the photos reflected the spirit of the book. And they both have a wonderful sense of eye and design. And it was teamwork, you know. I mean, I can't take full credit for this book. It really was a collaborative effort. We're at the point now where we finish each other's sentences. So I really want to give them a shout out because I think they really honored both of these beautiful sweeteners. Hmm.
Do you ever have to cook something more than once to make a good picture? Or what?
Well, one of the fun things about the work that we do is we try and come up with recipes that somebody really can make at home. I mean, these aren't overly stuffed. We're not using tweezers or, you know, fakey things, you know, sprays or gels or anything like that to make the food look good. The food really does look like it appears in the photos. And Meta and Abby both have a really lovely sense of how things should look on the plate. I mean, they pay attention to the food itself. So to be honest, the recipes are so quick and easy to make that we didn't really have to do anything more than once. We simply made them and boom, shot them.
One of the photographs right on the front of the book just captured my attention right away, and it was for maple lime scallops with cucumber salad. Can you tell us about that recipe?
You know, my son, because Meta is Danish, our photographer is Danish, she is, you know, she's really a master at seafood. And the Danes, again, because they have limited availability of seasonal foods, they will use sweeteners like maple syrup or honey to, again, brighten foods. And so as she began to think about some of the foods from her culture and the things she grew up with, that was one of her recipes. So she said, you know, let's try this. I mean, I can remember having scallops as a kid, and I remember my mom using a really tart either vinegar or lime juice and then just brightening it with a little bit of sugar. Let's try it with maple. So that's what we did.
Oh, boy. And then you have some fermented hot chili sauce. That just sounds killer to me. Tell us about that.
It's really good. We did a book together called Sweet Nature, called Savory Sweet, which is fast pickles and preserves for a home kitchen. We had a couple of recipes that we couldn't include in that book, and that was one of them that we really liked, and so that now has a home in Sweet Nature. And it's a wonderful recipe because, again, sometimes ferments are so strong and so powerful that we thought, well, let's soften it a little bit by using one of these natural sweeteners, in this case, the maple syrup.
You also have some cocktails in the back of the book, and one of them just struck me. It's called Bee's Knees.
Yes, yes, and that's an old-fashioned cocktail that was very popular in New York back in the roaring 20s. That's just a riff on that cocktail. So that was inspired by, the high society back in New York City.
And then one of the other ones, Dark and Stormy Gingerbread. I'm just a total fan of gingerbread. If I have to bake a cake, it would be a gingerbread, which, that just is wonderful sounding.
It's really delicious. And that's an old, old-timey recipe. And the fun thing about that is eons ago, when sugar was really expensive, people used maple syrup or they used honey. And so that's a riff on a colonial recipe. When gingerbread the gingerbreads back then are not nearly as sweet as they are now. So I tried to make that recipe less sweet than what most people are used to. And that gingerbread is really good, not only with a cup of tea, but also with a stout beer, for instance, and a slice of cheddar cheese.
And one more, let's talk about wild rice cranberry pilaf, just because we're hungry this morning and this is just, I don't know. I don't know if it's torture or good, but it uses our local wild rice.
Yes, yes. And wild rice, again, it's another indigenous food. And so is maple syrup. And so it just made sense to try and figure out how to partner them. And that again, is a recipe that people may have eaten centuries ago because they seem to work so beautifully together. There is that old trope that things that grow together go together.
That sounds perfect. Now, you just had your launch party last night. What was that like, and what are your next few days going to be like now that you've just launched this book?
Well, it was really fun. It's like introducing a friend to the world or a baby to the world. We had it at the beautiful Birchwood Cafe in Minneapolis, and Tracy, who owns the cafe, is a good friend of ours, and so Chef Marshall Paulson helped prepare a number of treats from the book for people to sample. So we got to talk to lots of people, and then the media tour is really fun because it's mostly local newspapers and radio stations and some cooking classes. And so we'll be demonstrating different things from the book and just sharing what we know with people. And then also listening to what people who either keep bees or tap trees tell us about their experiences. So that's the fun of it. Whenever we do this, it's never the end of the conversation. It's always the beginning of the conversation because I always think there's so much more to learn from other people and people that are interested in this. So for me, it's a great way not only to share what I've researched and what we found out, but also to learn from people about their own experiences.
Beth Dooley and Meta Nielsen just released that new book, Sweet Nature, A Cook's Guide to Using Honey and Maple Syrup, published by University of Minnesota Press. Beth, thanks so much for being on the radio with us this morning.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You are listening to Local Food on the Wednesday Morning Show, connecting you to good food made with local ingredients.